You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Oh my gosh. How far down this list did you look?
I never went to the second page, but I was looking at all the way down for the almost the first page.
I haven't even gotten to the bottom of the first page yet. I didn't know there was a second page. How many are on the first page? 100?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if we're going to get through them all. But
yeah. Oh, no. I am picking out mostly 80s ones, because these are not all 80s movies.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Since we are working on an 80s topic tonight.
We are. Right, Dave? We are. We are on 80s, yes. And, you know, crap. What episode number are we on?
Number 7. Yes.
We sure?
Well, you told me in number 6 last week when I recorded with Rose.
All right. I could have sworn.
And we've had a couple of flip sides in there too, so.
No, I know that, and that's where I'm kind of getting messed up, because I started to edit the 90s movie episode that we did, and that was labeled episode 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, hey, if it's off by one, we'll just, you know, we can just call this one 8 if you want.
We're not even to 10 yet, and we're already screwing up. What the hell? All right.
Well, we've had hurricanes. We've had, you know.
All right. Let me verify something here. I'm going to go back to our Podbean page, log in, see what was the. I don't want an advertisement. Just go to the dashboard, stupid computer. All right. Flip side, episode 5. So episode 5 was Harry Dean Stanton movies. So that means episode 6 would be the 90s movies. So then episode 7 should have been the one that you and Rose did, so I gave you the wrong episode number. So then this is episode 8.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you said episode 6 for me.
I probably did. And you know what? I just because I have morbid curiosity, I'm going to look because I've got all that. I have no idea how to get rid of all these chats, all the chat history.
I'm looking at our texts, and I never did send you those cards. Those game cards for level 257.
Ooh, I was right. You're recording episode 7 is what I said.
We did?
That's what I said. You gave Rose gave a thumbs up, and you said, that works great then.
Okay, wait a second. Hold on.
All right, I'm holding.
I don't know. Maybe you can hear this. Tell me if you can hear anything. Okay. Stand by. Oh, yep. You said it right, I said it wrong. So I can edit that. I can edit that, though.
All right, cool.
I can just say 7.
do it like really way off, and then that way people can tell 7. you edited it in.
This is episode 7.
find like a computer generated voice.
Oh yeah. I should.
Yeah, we're fucking professionals. Okay.
This is all about fun.
No, I know. I was kidding, man. Ah, scotch tastes good tonight.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm spearing myself.
Mm. All right, so then we discovered we're on episode 8 then.
We are on episode 8.
Yeah, all right, cool. And then I've got the page up. All right. You ready to get started, or do you want to, like, chit-chat more?
No, we can rock it.
This is 80 something podcast.
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
It to each other. And party on, dudes!
Alright, this is Banzai Retro Club, and I am Dave, and online I have got my good friend Scott.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be back.
You know, and one of the past episodes that we did, I said that you promised that you were not a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby. And I it's like, I wish I would have had something ready for tonight, but I just don't. So,
That's okay.
So anyway, we're on episode 8 of, obviously, our Banzai Retro Club. This is a 80s episode. And what you, the listeners, should know is that Scott and I, we were conversing about a IMDb page that I sent him a little earlier about all upcoming movie remakes, reboots. And I think these are actually movies that are on the bubble to actually be remade. It's not like it's a discussion where is it going to get made, but it actually is in the works. And there's 134 titles actually on this list. And what we wanted to do was just go through the list and kind of pick out, the movies that are iconic to us from the 1980s and comment on whether they should be rebooted or not. And maybe even some thoughts around the originals or some thoughts on what we think the remake should include. Is that a fair description, Scott?
Sounds good to me.
All right. And you know, I know there's other shows that are out there that, you know, talk about this kind of thing, like, you know, remaking movies and the way it should be done. So I'm not going to, you know, rip off their format too much. But, you know, I think that given this list and looking at some of these titles, there's definitely, I know what popped out in my brain was a movie that Scott and I were talking about for a long time in our previous show on 80s Reboot Overdrive, talking about War Games. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, all right, well, yeah, first thing that came to mind is that I know that they even made a sequel that I haven't even seen, but I heard it stunk.
I tried. I lasted about 15 minutes and lost interest.
Yeah. And so now it's, you know, let's assume they're remaking the original. You know, where it's going to be the same concept as the original. Do they need to do that? You know, and the thing is, looking at the 80s movies on this list, I think there's going to be, it's going to be tough for me to say that, yeah, that's a good idea to remake that, because a lot of these are beloved movies.
I agree, most of them I don't really want to see a reboot, but I'm trying to look at it from, you know, like an objective point of view, to where I don't have like a too much of a love for the previous version, because I think some of these could really be well done if they were redone.
Yeah.
Or done. I really think they could, but they better nail it. I mean, really, like I've seen, there's been a few reboots, you know, just over the last 8 or 5 or 10 years of a lot of 80s movies, you know, like a Total Recall. And it was like not even the same movie. I mean, they they really changed a lot of stuff around. And it just didn't do it for me. I was hoping for something cool, but, really I loved the first, you know, the original, version of that, which was what, 87 or something like that. Anyway, but stuff like that, there's been several that they have tried to redo and it just does not, they've not done the job. They've not really, let's see. I don't know. They just didn't even come close to matching. Now I know there are some movies out there that have been remakes from movies in the 50s and 60s that were really well done. And I didn't even know some of them that were remakes until after the fact. Like I can't think of any right now. There was a couple that I was like, really? I didn't know that was a remake.
Well, I think even like a movie that we geeked on a little bit was Little Shop of Horrors, but you and Rose, you know, brought up the fact that the original was even just as good. And I was like, all right, I didn't even realize there was an original. I thought that was an original thing. So there's a lot of those kind of things. Something that I should put as a disclaimer, at least for myself, is that, you know, I've said before that, you know, if a movie gets remade, that my feeling is that, you know, if maybe Hollywood is just devoid of original ideas, and so they've got to, you know, look at past properties to see what they could do with it. Mm-hmm. But I guess the thing is, it's like, you know, if we're looking at these movies to get remade, you know, what is it that has, you know, that, what is it for that movie that would have to make me want to revisit it? Because I'm usually good with the original. I've gotten what I needed to out of it. I've enjoyed the original. And if you're going to remake something, you've got to do something special for me to, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to see what the new versions is all about. You know, and, you know, a perfect example, and this wasn't an 80s movie, but they recently redid Pete's Dragon. But oh, yeah. They put Robert Redford in it. And that made it interesting to check out, you know, and I knew it wasn't going to be kind of campy cartoon like, you know, what I had experienced with the 70s version.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, it was totally awesome.
I loved, you know, let's go to Passamaquoddy right now.
But, you know, this this new version of it, you know, looking, you know, is really... It looked really good as a movie because of computer effects nowadays. And it was something that my daughter was able to get really into. Mm-hmm. So I can appreciate the fact that, you know, they want to reboot these movies, but, you know, I'm not always going to check them out, you know, and it's got, like I said, something's got to be special about it for me to go, all right, let me see what they did with it. I'm not going to just jump into a reboot of War Games just because it's out there. You've got to convince me because I've already got the Matthew Broderick, Ally Sheedy movie and I'm good with what I got. So like I said, that's my disclaimer.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I think, you know, just on the topic of War Games and I think that one's just a little too near and dear to my heart to have them redo it. Even if they could improve on it, I still think, and we're getting back into a world atmosphere of where that could be a situation again. Russia, or they could probably turn it and change it into North Korea or something. Cause we're in kind of a weird place now with nuclear weapons again.
Right.
But, you know, it seemed like it cooled off for a while, for the 90s and maybe the early 2000s, you know. But now it just seems like it's been very prevalent just because of certain things that have been happening in the news in the last 6 or 8 months. So, yeah, it could be done. It wouldn't – like, you know how we said that some of the movies that Cujo could not be remade.
Right.
Right? Because – everybody has cell phones. There's no way you're going to get trapped in a car unless you're way out in the middle of nowhere that has no signal, and even that's hard to find nowadays, unless you have, like, certain carriers don't have as much coverage. Like where I am, I can't have Sprint in my house because I'm on the edge of their service, and it just doesn't work. So
well, there's another way to make that work, though, that you can have the main character's battery, like, almost dead, like at the beginning of the movie.
And then, okay.
And then that'll amp up the, you know, something bad's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So just say like the lead character, just as they got a hold of somebody, and then all of a sudden the phone dies because the battery was low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'd be, you know, the timing of events, you know, and, you know, something like a person like Alfred Hitchcock would be able to amp that up even more, you know, showing the battery life ticking away. You know, and then, I don't know. There's ways that you could do that, but at the same time, you're right. With modern day technology, you know, it would have a different element to a story like that. But I think war games would actually help the story. If you had the modern day equivalent of, you know, the, you know, what's available, you know, for this kid to hack into the Whopper.
Yeah, and that was definitely something that was kind of in the, like, in the plot line of the recent, like, the continuation of it.
Yeah.
Because it was a sequel. It wasn't really a reboot, right?
Oh, was it? Okay. Like I didn't even check it out.
It was more presented more as a sequel, I think. I'd have to go back and refresh my memory. I could be wrong. But I thought I could have sworn it seemed more like it was being set up as like a sequel. Kind of like Mad Max, Fury Road or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Was, you know, they kind of advertise it as like a reboot of the Road Warrior, but it really was more of a, like a sequel again or something. I don't know. Seemed like it to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, which I never got to finish that movie, and it was really getting good, but I was watching it one day when, you know, Chrissy's not into that stuff, so I had to watch it on my own. And she ended up, you know, I ended up not being able to finish it because of something else that I had to do, and then I just never got back to it, and I was kind of bummed. But anyway. And then it was on DirecTV or whatever I had, and I had recorded it on my DVR, and then I just recently, in the last month or so, just canceled satellite TV altogether. So anyway, so yeah, war games. Looks like we started off with one already.
we actually jumped right into it. But yeah, I mean, and that's because I know that it's a movie that, you know, both you and I have expressed a lot of admiration for.
Yes. So did any other ones like jump out at you right away?
Never ending story.
For ones
story.
That, like, you would like to see a re.
Oh,
yeah. That's a definite no, right? Definite no.
Never ending story. See, and that's where we start into the nostalgia factor and the beloved factor.
Yeah.
In the 80s, you know, that movie, you know, with the practical effects that went on to it, you know, it had this air about it that I'm afraid that if you try to clean it up, that it's going to lose that fun factor.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for me to imagine there being a new version of the Never Ending Story that I would run out to go see. And I think the only way that they'll be able to get around that is maybe they, you know, if the casting was, you know, people that was of note to, you know, someone that I would appreciate. But the problem is that, you know, all of the main people in the movie, all the main characters are young. So I'm not going to know a lot of these young actors that would have to fulfill those roles.
Right.
You know, the only thing I can think of is like that guy that had like the weird head that was like the, helper for the Empress, you know, maybe put Samuel L. Jackson in that role, you know, But other than that, that's all I've got. Right. You know, I mean, other than, you know, if you cast the voice of Falcor, you know, like really cool. You know, I mean, throw a Mark Hamill in there. Maybe that gets me. I don't know.
So here's where some of the problem comes in. I think a lot of us, a lot of the movies that we've seen in our, you know, we're talking 30, you know, plus years ago. Those are a certain part of our growing up they have meaning, and the characters that are played by certain actors or actresses, you grow to love them as that character or whatever, right? So trying to envision a new person in any of these roles is very difficult. We've talked about it in the past on some other movie topics and through 80s reboot. We're like, well, hey, you know who would be great in that role nowadays would be this person, you know?
Right.
Or we also went into, well, who else would have been good for that role at the time? So anyway, it's really hard to take somebody out of a movie that you've already seen and put somebody else in it and change it to kind of fit today's movie making style.
Right.
So it's a really hard thing to envision yourself. And that's, I think, one of the problems that people have, or that the directors and the producers have, because they already have this thing in their head. They know the movie, you know, they probably have seen it many times over, and they want to remake it and they want to put their own twist on it. But they, I think sometimes they try too hard and it kind of takes away from the original storyline. Of course, you don't want to see a full repeat, just a copycat version of it, of whatever you're talking about, you know, whatever movie you're thinking of. Like, say, let's see. How about Escape from New York?
Escape from New York. Now, that, I'm glad you brought that one up. Okay. I'm trying to get back to, what number was that on the list?
I have to go back.
Number 20.
Okay.
All right, so number 20, here, reading, you know, when I first saw that, I was like, okay, wait a minute. But then I saw the director that they have associated with it, Robert Rodriguez. I could see him just taking Escape from New York and turning it on its head, and it'd be another good movie.
Really? I don't know that director. What else has he done?
Am I thinking the same guy? Let me just make sure that he's usually the one that is associated a lot with Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sin City, Planet Terror. Yeah.
So I could see him just creating this version of Escape from New York that, you know, would just blow people's fucking minds. And
this is a good point.
And so, but looking at the director did it for me, you know, so that's where I was like, I don't know if it would be so much as a reboot, but just a retelling of the same story. So technically it's a reboot, but I could just see it having a look and feel and being just a completely different animal of the original. The challenge that you're going to have is who's going to play Snake. So outside of that though, with the director though, I would be really curious to see this movie.
Okay. And I'm also going to have to say that some of the dialogue from the 80s was acceptable in the 80s, but I think a lot of the, like, just the way some of the dialogue is presented, especially by Snake Plissken, it might come off as kind of cheesy nowadays if they use, I don't know. You'd have to make them, who's the guy who do I see playing that role? I'll tell you who I see playing that role is, I don't know the actor's name, but he was in, like, I think London has fallen. He's like the, let me see, I can find him. Anyway, that, I just think,
Gerard Butler?
I could be. I really don't know. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
I have to make sure I'm thinking of the right guy. He kind of kicks ass. what did I say? London?
Yeah, London has fallen.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
What else? I could see him being a snake. I could see him pulling that off.
He's got that dark kind of persona that, you know, he's got the look. He's got kind of the tough guy look, like he's been around the block a few times, you know. He's not
he's not
a pretty boy.
Yeah, and he's just not going to take shit from anybody.
Right.
Yeah, and that's who you need as a snake. And I could see him wearing a patch too, so that'd work.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the guy that played the governor in The Walking Dead. Maybe put him in there.
The governor. Yeah, you know him. Yeah.
He already had a patch on.
Yeah, that's right. He did have a patch.
Oh my God. No, even better. Negan.
No, I can't stand Negan.
Oh my God. He's awesome. Come on. All right. We're getting way off.
I've not been able to watch that show since, since I got rid of cable, but also
that depth delay hurts the process.
When they got that brutal with the visuals on that first episode back, I think it was season seven, with him just, you know, destroying
with the bat. Yeah.
Yeah. Glenn and
Abraham.
Oh, it was Abraham. Yeah. Yeah. Just,
yeah, really, I don't watch. That, I don't know what you're talking about.
they took it a bit too far, man.
Yeah, that was they really took it to a new level.
And they even talked about adding a different rating system for that level of network TV.
Really? I didn't hear
like
that.
AMC, yeah, AMC, TMC, not TMC, AMC, Fox. Or FX or something like that. I think it's FX. That level of network, because it's not your standard general open air network.
Right.
Like it's not CBS, ABC, NBC, regular Fox or GN or whatever. So anyway, yeah, they were talking about adding a new rating level because of that. So anyway, way off topic. Let's get back.
I was about to say, as a parent though, I can appreciate the thought process of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of like, well, I'm not going to watch Walking Dead with my 9-year-old in the room, you know. But I know other kids that watch that show and love it. And I'm kind of like, why are your parents letting you do that? But like I said, topic for another day. Back to the list. How do you feel about heavy metal being on the list?
I would have to say it would probably fail miserably.
Really?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
And the reason I say that is because they came out with Heavy Metal 2000, and it was... I don't know if it'd be a good idea to take the same stories that they used in the original Heavy Metal and try to remake those stories through animation. For one, the way those were, you know, they had the topless women and the boobs in there, and I just don't see it being a movie that would succeed in today's world. Now, I know there's a lot of anime that has a lot of sexual overtones and stuff, but I don't know. I don't think it would hold up. Plus the music and the soundtrack that goes with the original, it'd be really difficult to represent that.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I mean, I think
I'm glad you brought that one up too, because that was on my list of ones to discuss. So
yeah, and I'm trying to think, you know, as far as the look and feel of it, I think that a modern day artist, and I know they are so talented, and I think it can be, it could look good, but I would worry about, you know, the character of it, you know, because a lot of what you were saying about, you know, back in the 80s, you know, we had that political incorrectness.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have more of a, you know, a different world. And it's like, would you be able to do that, that same kind of tongue in cheek adult humor and get away with it? And would it play the same way as it did back in the 80s? And I think that would be the challenge that they would be up against. And would they be able to pull that off? Now, that's the element that I'd worry about. And, you know, getting the right voices behind it so that it has a good character.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's tough to replicate, you know, the voice talent that put in the first version.
Oh, yeah. And Harold Ramis, Eugene Levy, right. John Candy, basically the whole SCTV cast, along with many, many other great ones. So speaking of political incorrectness, how do you think Time Bandits would fly?
Ooh, thank you very, 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 very much.
Very, very much.
Time Bandits. That is, my God, what an interesting movie. The first, you know, the original, obviously. It's tough for me to imagine what a retelling of this would be like. It's tough for me to even imagine that. I would really need to see what kind of cast was involved and who was, you know, director. To even be able to decide whether I was going to jump on board for seeing this again.
Because, a lot of people really like this movie from that era.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very popular, you know, especially for kids, you know, teenagers or whatever. And mostly young teens, I think. Because it was fun and it was clean. It was just a little weird, but, you know, and... Who doesn't like a good time travel movie, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it took place around a kid, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think it's the dwarves. I don't know how that would go over in today's world of political correctness for everything.
Yeah. All right. I've got it. If you put Peter Dinklage as Randall.
Oh,
that would do it. That would do it.
Okay. And you're talking about the actor from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You put him as Randall, then you would get buy-in from a lot of people. Because he's awesome. And I don't watch Game of Thrones a lot, but I know that anything I've seen him in, he's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And
yeah.
I love him in Elf.
yes. He's an angry elf.
He's an angry elf.
Say Elf one more time.
I really love him there. So I could see him playing, you know, in Time Bandits. He would play well. You put him in that movie, I would probably sign up to see it. Now, whether I'd like it or not, but yeah, that'd be, you know, the directing and writer's job to get me on that one. So I would be interested with the right people behind it. And you know, I don't know. It, the original meant a lot to me. So that, you know, that'd be a tough one to get me to love. You know, because it would always be in a comparison between, you know, the original, you know, I don't know, it just played differently because it was, you know, that time of my life, as you put it.
Yeah.
So it depends on what they would do with a remake in order to get me excited. But like I said, you put Peter Dinklage, that would get me, that would perk my ears up, and I'd be like, oh, all right, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. So I'm trying to look at this list as what could they do with it to make me jump on board.
Okay. Should I throw another one at you, or you want to take one?
Go ahead, throw one, because if you got one ready.
This is number, hold on, I want to get down, I think it's number 68.
Oh, wow, you jump way down the list.
Yeah, well, I scrolled through the whole thing. Come on, I can't get down. My
Chopping Mall. Chopping Mall.
Is it 68? Was I right?
Yes.
All right, good.
Wow. I don't know. That's just wonderful 80s horror. Cheesy horror.
I don't know if I could do it without Kelly Maroney being at least having a pretty large role as a cameo.
Yes. Yeah, she would have to totally be in that.
Yeah.
I thinking through the premise, I mean, you've got robots that, you know, spoiler alert, take over a shopping mall. And they're the de facto security guards. So here we are in 2017. I don't see anybody having robots. I mean, you would have technology, you know, like your home system, security system, where you've got cameras everywhere, and then you would have automated doors and things like that. But I don't know of any technology currently that employs robots as its method of security.
Okay, so what if we took number 68, which is Chopping Mall, and combined it with number 27, which is Short Circuit?
See, and then that's another thing. It's like, you know, robots were a big 80s thing.
They were huge in the 80s. They were huge, man.
And in both of those cases here, those are the prevalent technology. Now, I mean, the thing that modern day movies are still trying to play around with is the idea of having robots that are very much like humans, where you can't tell a human apart from a robot counterpart.
These have kind of been done.
Yeah.
Like several times since then. Like,
so you would almost need that element. Like, okay, yeah. In a shopping mall, let's give it an element where you would say, you would have the, I don't know what you want to call it, you know, the replicant, for lack of a better way of putting it, the replicant, you know, being, you know, their security system, you know, and, you know, maybe, right, maybe the people that are, you know, having their party in the mall, late at night after it closes, just didn't realize the replicant was actually a replicant. And then the replicant does something and he goes rogue.
Right.
You know, maybe there's something like that that would work. But outside of, you know, I mean, having a big, you know, garbage looking robot tin can thing running around like Chopping Mall did back in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, that wouldn't work nowadays.
Yeah. It's a good one though, right? To bring up.
Yeah, it totally is. So I would be worried to see how they would redo it in 2017, 2018 fashion.
Right.
To make it believable.
Right.
You know, to today's modern audience. But still have the same feel, you know, of the original.
Yeah.
And that would be tough to do. Because, I mean, you'd basically have a replicant running around going, you know, have a nice day after they kill somebody. Yeah, and so it's like, does that work? Does that play well? And you would need to have it play well, because it was a, you know, cheesy 80s horror movie. Yeah.
I don't think you can get away with cheesy horror movies anymore. Like,
I guess what
like
was
there, there was an era in the 80s that these I don't know, they were really cheesy is the only word I can come up with on this. Not very creative here, but cheesy. There's so many cheesy movies in the 80s that we love because of their cheesiness.
Right.
And I don't know if that type of presentation or of, I don't know if it would be considered just a comedy at this point. Like, I don't know how that would be accepted today. I can't think of any movies that are like that unless they're just a full-on comedy, you know?
Yeah, I guess I, in the modern horror movie, you know, lineup, I guess right. I can't think of one recently that was humorous that worked.
Right.
And maybe there is, but, you know, I mean, I'm not a horror movie connoisseur. But
yeah, I'm not really that much either. I mean, I used to like them, but I don't know.
But,
like,
yeah.
The Ring and all that stuff, it's interesting, but I don't know. Although the Strangers, that was a freaky one. That came out a few years back. That one freaked me out.
Yeah, and you know, there's I guess there's something to be said for a lot of gore. Because, you know, I've watched actually the Hostel series.
Oh, wow.
And that is beyond gore. That is just gore to the nth degree, where it's almost sickening.
Yeah. Well, it's like Saw.
Yeah. You know?
How far can they take it? How can they gross us out as much as they can?
Right. And you know, looking at these movies, that's almost what, in order to appeal to modern day times, you know, as to what people appreciate or go see. That's almost what Chopping Mall would have to become.
Right.
And to us that appreciated the original, I think it would lose something if it became that.
Yeah. So, do you got some more on that list that jump out at you or that you want to hit on? Because I do have a few others that I want to.
Angel Heart. I don't know if was that.
I didn't see that.
Number 66.
Oh, I flew right past it. I think Chopping Mall caught my eye, and I just skipped a couple.
Yeah,
and, you know what I mean.
And so I was I was, you know, a fan of Angel Heart, in the 80s, you know, but a lot of it had to do with the cast. Mm-hmm. First off, the fabulous Lisa Bonet was just something else in that movie. But, you know, you had Robert De Niro, you had, what was his name?
I don't remember. It wasn't,
The main character. Come on, Dave. You should know this.
I want to say Christopher Walken, but that's...
No. That wasn't him. Oh, wow. I'm going to hate myself here as soon as I pull it up. Mickey Rourke. My God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Rourke. So they were awesome in this movie as, characters and as the actors and actresses that portrayed in it. And this movie would have to have that same kind of cast, for me to even be interested. Mm. I love the original. I absolutely loved it. And I don't know, it's like something that I don't hear a lot of people talk about, but, you know, I thought it was a great, you know, vehicle, you know, of just a great storyline of this person investigating, you know, and spoiler, you know, investigating the a case in which he's actually the murderer. You know, and I don't recall a lot of things where that's been done in such a way, you know, in such a way. So I'd be curious to see how that would get redone, but the cast would have to be like spot on fabulous,
right,
to get me hooked.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, that's something that we would have to get past with some of these newer versions of these movies, is we had a certain, you know, you fell in love with a certain actor portraying that character.
Right.
They were really great in that role. How can you find somebody to do it again?
Right.
It would be tough to have somebody do, you know, some of these roles over. I mean, De Niro, for one, you know, as, what was he? Was he the devil in that one?
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
They call him Lucifer, or Lucifer.
Nice.
Yeah. The other one that I thought was interesting, and I promise I'll let you talk,
okay.
but Flatliners.
Ooh, dude, that's one that I was going to talk about. I think that one could be really well done. And now I know the cast was really cool. That, you know, they had Kiefer and Julia Roberts and one of the Baldwin boys.
Oliver Platt was also in it.
Yes, and gosh, I can't remember the other person. There's
so you had Kiefer, you had Kevin Bacon, you had Julia Roberts.
Kevin Bacon. Yep. Kevin Bacon. Yeah, that was the other one. I'm saying.
William Baldwin, Oliver Platt.
Mm-hmm. Right. Great cast. Did a great job of at that movie. But I think those roles could have been interchangeable with a lot of actors at the time.
Now, just a quick disclaimer for the listener. We know Flatliners is 1990, but we're still going to talk about it anyway because I brought it up.
And it's on the, you know, it's on the cusp. It's close. To, you know, anybody that was watching movies in the 80s bled over into the 90s, and 1990 still, you know, I give it a year or two, but
It played. Yeah. So, but here's the thing. This movie's already been released. The new version, 2017.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah, it's already out there. It's already been out in the wild. I had no idea that, and that's why I wanted to bring this up, is because I had no idea that it had already come and gone and been released.
Oh, dude.
So this thing, when did I see the release date? September 29th, 2017.
That's like a month ago.
Yeah. So this thing's already out there. And here's the thing. I love Ellen Page. I think she's a wonderful actress. She's in this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't even know who that was. Ellen Page. I do now. She's really a...
Yeah, Juno. She was in a movie called Hard Candy that was just beyond awesome. So I think she's a wonderful actress, and you know, so she put this thing out there, and I didn't even know. It didn't even hit my radar. And that's why I'm glad that we're talking about this, is because I can go, you know, was it any good? You know, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the rating here. It's got 5 out of 10 stars, which doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't.
And any of these other characters that are, or the other actors that are in it, I don't know. I don't know them other than Ellen Page.
Uh-huh.
But I'm willing to give it a try because of Ellen.
Huh. I'm willing to give it a try just for the concept.
Wait. Kiefer's in it.
Is he really?
Yes. Dr. Barry Wolfson.
Oh, so he's...
Who did he play in?
No. Whoa. Wait a minute.
He's Nelson. Okay.
In the original, he was Nelson.
In this version, he plays Dr. Barry Wolfson.
Hmm. Okay. I thought maybe they were throwing him in as a doctor that had done this 25 years ago or 30 years ago or whatever.
Well, we would almost have to watch it in order to find out.
Yeah, now we're going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
Which I'm interested. I'll have, when it hits, I don't know, whatever way we can watch it. Maybe like it's on
Netflix or something.
Yeah. Or Amazon, whatever.
Right.
If it didn't do this well, I mean, they didn't do a very good job of marketing it, I can tell you that much.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, I...
But I actually when we talked about doing this topic, I actually watched the trailer of it.
And
it looked interesting to me. And
cool.
It sounds like it was a rethought of the original process, you know, where people were putting themselves in a state where they're dead to and their sins come back to haunt them.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it was just a modern take on that same theme. So I'm interested. I'm actually really interested based on, you know, the premise and because of Alan.
Yeah, I was making a few notes just like the 5 minutes before we started the show. I put down Flatliners and I put a note next to us that could be really awesome. So I have to see this just so I can at least, you know, make a comparison and see if it was really that bad or that good.
Yeah.
5 stars is not a good sign though. But then again, there's a lot of movies out there that have got like really bad ratings. And I'm like, how does anybody not love this movie? You know?
Right.
So,
oh my God. The first user review on IMDb, it says pointless remake of a pointless movie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's no fair then.
Oh, because that person didn't like it. Yeah.
If you didn't like the first one, why would you bother with the second one?
Let's see.
It's fine. Yeah.
Wow-wee. Nobody liked this movie. Jesus. All right, never mind. I'm looking at reviews, and it's almost like nobody liked it. Kind of fell flat. Had potential, but fell short.
Hmm.
Somebody finally says, stop comparing this to the original great horror flick.
Okay. Right. I'm going to have to watch it either way.
Yeah, I guess maybe if you go in and not think of it as the original and just let it be on its own merits, maybe that's the way you got to approach it.
Yeah.
We interrupt this program for a special...
Hey, I don't get it.
This is the part of our show where we have a segment called I Don't Get It. I think we should like say it like that. I don't get it. And especially when you're talking about
very
the 80s.
Valley girl. I don't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't like, get it.
For sure.
Sure as if. So, seeing how it's the 80s, and there was not a whole lot of stuff I didn't get in the 80s or I didn't love in the 80s, a few things. This one in particular was just so beyond my realm of comprehension. I just was like, that's it. This is like the needle scratching the record. So, I liked when I looked for it, I searched for it, and it had like a little synopsis of what it is. And maybe from the way I describe it, you all can go, you know what? I didn't get that either. So, these are blue elf-like creatures dwelling happily in the forest. Creatures with names like Jokey and Greedy and Brainy Smurf. They went through adventures, sought advice from Papa Smurf, and found themselves captivated by the perky Smurfette, the only female in the clan. During Smurf Mania, people, they outsold Star Wars, Garfield, Snoopy, Annie, and Mickey Mouse. Now, you know these damn things are from the devil. If you can outsell Mickey Mouse, there's something seriously wrong. I don't know who the person is that created these things, but, yeah. I think they're horrid. I just don't get it. They're blue for one. Seriously? You know what blue means? Blue not only is a very hostile color, but it also means you're freezing to death. When something's blue, that means they're completely devoid of life. So yeah, that's a wake up call for some of you out there. Second of all, the show wasn't even that funny. I don't even get it. What was so humorous, and perhaps once again, because I'm a girl, only don't get it, with a bunch of dudes hanging out with one girl. And yeah, she's hot. She's hot, but she has like no interest in none of them. So it's like they're all vying for supremacy, you know, with their blueness and their weirdness. And then they got to throw this weird guy called Gargamel into the mix. And he has a cat who's just like totally like, whatever, dude, I don't even listen to you, because he's a cat. And he's always trying to like get up in their business. And I'm just like, leave the little weirdos alone, for crying out loud. You could be doing so much better just hassling somebody else in the forest. I'm sure you could. But he obviously has self-esteem issues, and the abuse keeps him motivated. So never let my kids watch the show. At some point, they're even like, yeah, we get it, Mom. Let's watch something else that totally makes sense, like G.I. Joe or He-Man. You know, at least that made sense. That did not make any sense to me. And, you know, and if they were elf-like creatures, why were they all the same color? Elves don't roll like that. They're, like, all about individuality and flying and being part of nature. Yeah, they're not all blue or dudes or weird.
You make a lot of great points, you know, but I was trying to, like, place myself as far as, like, you know, here's this time in history, and as far as, like, how old I was, and, mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, I was younger than you, so I probably was closer to relevancy for the Smurfs,
mm-hmm.
But I think you had, you know, I just think that was kind of your point of where you're like, you know what, I, you know, because you didn't get it, you were like, I'm not sold, therefore my kids, they're not buying into this. And I can relate in a lot of, I don't know how to put it, but there, I can relate to in a way, because SpongeBob, that was my thing as far as what you're saying, where mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't get it, and I was like, I even went so far as to tell my kids, you know, SpongeBob, you know, like, would deplete your brain cells. So don't don't watch SpongeBob, because it makes you dumber. And so maybe that's what the Smurfs were to you, I'm guessing. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I mean, there's different issues. Perhaps, you know, the brain cells are depleted at some point. It's just that whole, I don't know. I think I might have known what they were trying to do, but it just didn't work out. Honestly, it was almost like, yeah, we're all about unification and togetherness and the whole seven dwarfs thing. I mean, I get it, but even the seven dwarfs were like completely unique people. And yeah, some of the Smurfs were unique. I get it. Why were they all the same color? That really just irked the hell out of me. Why blue? Why are they blue? Seriously. Just, I don't know. Once I started questioning that, it was, you know, it was all downhill from there.
So what is it about blue?
Well, I don't know. What is it about blue? Why do they have to be blue?
That I don't have the answer.
Yeah. I told you. I explained it to you. Psychologically, blue is a hostile color. It's not calming like people seem to think it is. Oh, it's blue, it's the ocean, it's the sky. It's like, no, it's hostile. You want something that's calming, try tan or pink or something like that. You know, eggshell white. I don't know. Just get it.
Yeah, I have never related to blue to a hostile color. I always had it like as a calming color, and
yeah.
I mean, you know, even if you look at our BonsaiRetroClub.com website, you know, that's the reason why I chose it as the background, was because I thought it was soothing and calming, but you're saying it's not.
It's not. It's hostile. And think about this. Okay, I did explain this. I will say it again. Blue, dead. If you're blue, you are not alive. Okay?
Okay.
Hospitals have, like, the whole code blue thing. Code, that's for a reason. That means you stop breathing. Okay? So, that, just work that into the scenario, and it just, you know, I don't know. It's just something creepy to me.
All right, so listeners, if you go to BonsaiRetroClub.com and you find out that it's no longer blue, that's the reason why, right there.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
I didn't even think about it like that.
Hey, I'm proving my point, regardless of whether it actually makes sense or not. I just, hey, I don't get it.
But now, I mean, and by the way, I looked up the cat name. I was curious because what I did was I did a Saturday morning cartoons thing for 80s Reboot before I stopped it.
Yes, you did. Well done.
Thank you. And Smurfs are definitely a big thing of 80s Saturday morning cartoons. And something I mentioned before where I was like, the cat. I didn't remember the cat's name, so I actually Googled it just so that I can, like, correct myself.
Yeah.
Asriel.
Asriel, yeah.
Asriel. So, kind of
God or something, isn't it? Doesn't it have, like, some connotation with Greek mythology?
Yeah, there's definitely something with Greek mythology, but I don't remember exactly. I never understood why Gargamel had such an issue with these little things.
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious about it, but not curious enough to look it up. And the Smurfs, much like you, it's like I didn't devote that much attention to it because mm-hmm. I was older by the time it came out. So much like you, I was like, it's not that I don't get it, but it was just the fact that I didn't want to get it.
Well, you'd moved on by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally understand that. That would be like me in the 60s trying to revisit Romper Room. Be like, dude, I'm like 9 years old. What the hell? And who the hell is she talking to in the mirror? I mean, seriously. She's got some kind of evil stepmother thing going on there. Right. And those of you who don't know who Romper Room, you got to Google that shit because that's some crazy stuff. Why people took drugs in the 60s. Anyway. I'm kidding. It was a fun show for very, very young children. Coming after with a lawsuit.
I totally get your point, though. Smurfs, though. Cool. And for me, it's not that I didn't get it. It was just that I didn't, because I was older. I was like, I don't need that. And I know that they were good for what they were as far as for a young 80s kid. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think every generation you had those kind of things, you know, and I've seen those with my kids where, you know, each generation has their own thing. You know, I went through Blue's Clues. Mm-hmm. I went through, the various princesses.
Both Inception, Steve and the other dude.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Joe.
The other dude. Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love Steve. Steve was cool. Steve went off to college, and then Joe came in, and it was okay. But and then like, he started a really bad horror movie, and kind of totally put me on.
But it's like every generation you have those things. You know, you have those.
Yeah. Teletubbies.
Teletubbies, Barney, you know, I mean, all these things where you're like, really? Are you serious? This is a mm-hmm. thing? But then, you know, and so to you, that's what the Smurfs were. And I was probably one generation away from it, where I was like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, it was just the thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was, by then I was moved on because I was older. So
yeah.
Now back to the show.
So,
all right. So what? Yeah, what's on your talk list?
Okay. Well, there's I have a list of like still another 15, 18 movies that were all from like the 80s. Some that I would like to see be remade. I think one that could be well done because of today's technology and today's social networking and or social media is a movie called Videodrome. It was very strange, and a lot of people I don't think even know what it was, know about this movie. It was kind of a, it's just a very weird kind of a horror supernatural type thing where there's like another, almost like another dimension behind the TV screen when they're watching these videos. So it could be done with today's technology. It could be reworked a little bit and done really well. So that was one. Did you see The Bodyguard on that list?
I did. The Bodyguard, we're not talking My Bodyguard, we're talking The Bodyguard.
Oh, The Bodyguard. Okay, right. Totally different. Sorry.
Yeah.
Forget it. I don't care about that movie at all.
I knew what you were talking about.
Okay, so here is another one that I think would be really, really well, that could be really well done, especially with today's special effects and sci-fi, the way they've taken sci-fi and been able to really make things look so awesome out there, is an old Disney movie from 1979, The Black Hole.
I never saw that one.
I thought it was really, it was cool, but it was kind of slow. But it could be really well done, in my opinion. So.
So what was the premise of the original?
So there's this space crew. Okay. It's a family, actually. They're living on this spaceship and they have a cute little one little cute little robot. Kind of reminds me of a cross between Wally and BB-8. Okay.
Okay.
And they go out and they find this black hole, and in the black hole, I can't remember, I don't know if they get sucked into it, but they find another spaceship that's been there for a long time. And it's kind of like there's one guy living on it, and he's this old crazy guy, or, you know, kind of an evil, twisted mind and something.
Now, did you say that was?
I haven't seen this in a long, long time.
Did you say they were a family?
I want to say like.
So you basically just described Lost in Space.
Lost in Space. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It might not have been a family. I'd have to look it up again. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I really liked it.
Okay.
I thought it was cool back then.
So you said it was kind of slow though.
It was a little slow, but overall, I think it could be well done. I think they could add a few things to it and make it pick up the pace a little bit. Another one I think would be cool would be Alien Nation.
Oh, that's a good call. I didn't see that on the list. I must have missed that.
Yeah.
I can see that being done really well.
Yeah. And then there's another one that was, and this came up in you guys, our conversation with, I don't think I was on that show. Is the horror one, The Bloody Man.
Okay.
Masters of the Universe.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, really, Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, the original. that That one should be rebooted.
It was kind of a farce, really. I mean, it really is not good at all. And they really could do a really cool version of it, I think. Do you want to talk more about that one?
No. I was bouncing into a different one. But go ahead, whatever you had.
This is one that I would not want to see redone. I don't think, just because of its is Roadhouse.
I just saw that on page 2.
I don't want to see that one redone because that one's got, like we said before, it's some cheesiness, you know?
Right.
But it's a classic. Like, I mean, you can't take that away from Patrick Swayze.
Those are tough shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be tough to refill that role. I don't know. I really don't know how they would be able to pull that off. There's so much good 80s-ness in that movie, the original, and it'd be tough to replicate that with a new cast.
It's 80s pop culture staple. I mean, it's so rich in 80s. It really is.
Yeah, Sam Elliott, Kelly Lynch. Marshall Artigue. Wow. Yeah, that'd be tough to replicate. Definitely. The one that I'm worried about, and I think that they should just give up on trying to redo this one, Dirty Dancing.
Yes, I agree.
You've tried people over and over and over again. Please stop. Just please. Dear God, please stop. If anything, the TV movie that was just released should tell you that. Nobody's interested anymore. Move on. Find another idea, please.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are thinking. Please. Yeah. I don't know. I've got nothing to say on that.
It's actually number 3 on my list of, and it has a big no next to it.
Yeah.
Nobody should be doing Dirty Dancing over. Like, nobody should put baby in a corner.
Yeah, you don't, you're done. You're done. You've tried to redo this before, and you've tried to redo this again. Nobody's interested.
No.
We had the original. We're good.
Patrick Swayze. Another Patrick Swayze movie that should not be touched.
Yeah.
Kind of like Red Dawn. That was destroyed. That reboot of Red Dawn was horrendous, I thought.
Now, what the hell are we doing defending Dirty Dancing?
I don't know.
We did a Icon series on Patrick Swayze, and we skirted around Dirty Dancing, and here we are defending it.
Okay, now, the reason we're defending it is because it still has that 80s... Now, I know it took place the
Kellermans back in what, 60s?
It took place in the early 60s, okay? Yeah. However, the way it was presented was so – it still had a lot of that 80s feel of how movies were being made at the time. And I don't think you can – recapture the feeling of those movies and even TV shows. But like I told you before, that one show that I was watching, Red Oaks, that I've watched all 3 series, seasons now. They're all done. That one really captures – the feel of 80s movies and TV. So I'm telling you, you have to watch that show. So again, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Another shout out for Amazon Prime.
Oh yes. Yes. That's an Amazon Prime original.
Yep.
It's the only place you'll find it. So anyway, did you have anything else? Any other before we cut it off here?
Well, I mean, neither one of us brought up American Werewolf in London. I don't know if that was on your list or not.
It's on my list. Pet Sematary is on my list. That could be done pretty well. because the, you know, I don't think the actors or actresses were a key part of that movie. I think that could have been, you know, those roles could have been interchangeable. That's where I look at a lot of these that can be redone, is how important was it that it was that actor?
Right.
Right.
Well, so, I mean, Denise Crosby was in Pet Sematary, and I had a thing for her from Star Trek days.
Okay. That makes sense, you know?
So yeah, I guess there's something there, but, and, you know, the wonderful Fred Gwynne. So, yeah, I don't know.
Good.
It'd be interesting to see. Be interesting to see what would happen there.
He was great in that. Yeah. Another one on my list. Like Commando. Anything that had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, I don't know if you can remake those because it was him. And I'm not saying he's a great actor or anything, but he brought something to the screen that was unique. You know? Okay. Every role, all the roles that he was in, he was a very unique character, especially the action adventure ones. Maybe not so much the comedy ones, although Twins was hysterical. But Commando, I don't know, who would play that? Would you get Gerard Butler again?
Only somebody. He's got to use the line, get to the chopper. You got to call it that. Call it the chopper.
Yeah, the chopper. Who's the guy that was in, I can't remember his name either. See, I'm so bad with today's actors. Like the ones that have become popular in the last 10 or 15 years.
You know who would probably be a good Commando? Vin Diesel.
Oh. Hmm. That's an interesting choice.
The straight Vin Diesel, not the, you know, the Jumanji, you know, humor Vin Diesel.
Right.
But the action hero Vin Diesel.
How about Dwayne Johnson?
Ah, another good call. Yeah, that's a tough one between those two.
Mm. You know, I think we're imagining large men.
Yes.
because Arnold was a big dude, and, you know, it'd be hard to find somebody that on a smaller scale, like, I wish I could remember the name of that movie. There's a guy in this movie.
You give me a little more to go on than that.
I know. Gosh, I don't even know where to start.
I wouldn't even know how to Google that. Guy in a movie.
Guy in a movie.
I got nothing.
The Transporter. That's it.
Oh, Jason Statham.
Yeah, thank you.
Jason Statham, right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
I love
him. He might be able to pull it off.
And, you know, because my original thought process with Commando was the big, you know, muscle-bound, bulky guy. You know, and that's why I was thinking Vin Diesel, or, you know, when you said Dwayne Johnson, I thought, yeah, perfect. But then as soon as you throw out a Jason Statham...
It's really just somebody that can kick some ass.
Yeah, and he would do that. He does that in spades.
And he plays a straight, very straight, you know, very straight, tough guy.
Right.
Kind of like Gerard Butler is the same, you know.
Right.
They're both in the same category. They fall into that same type of persona. You know, they do it well.
So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway. For a Commando, I think I need to have the muscle-bound guy.
Okay.
I would think that's what that role calls for.
Cool.
In my mind, at least.
Yeah.
So.
How about Weird Science?
Oh, no. My God. No.
You're not. Yeah,
dude, no. Don't touch that one. you can't replace Kelly LeBrock. Yeah, you just can't do it. There's no one.
Well, they tried making a TV series out of it, and that was an epic failure.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who in Kelly DeBrock's character Lisa, who could play that nowadays?
And it would Megan work. Fox.
Megan Fox. She wouldn't play the humor well.
Okay. Let's see. Gosh, I don't even know. I wouldn't know. That's the only recent actress that would be like considered, you know, hot or whatever.
No, she's got the hot factor. I'll give you that. But I don't see her. I haven't seen her play comedy well. You know, I mean, she was what made her role in Transformers bearable was how hot she was.
Right.
But I didn't, you know, the humor elements, I just don't think she plays that well. And Lisa needs to have that, you know, when she's delivering a line like, we're not talking, you know, wax on nipples. You know, she's got to sell that line, you know, and you just go, I love it. You know, I love her to death. And I just don't see her doing that.
Don't threaten me, Al. I'll kick your ass.
Exactly. So
shower with them. It's a mind scrambler. Stop me, please.
And so it's like, what modern day actress has the hotness factor of a Kelly LeBrock in the '80s and be able to pull off that humor element?
I really don't even know.
I forgot her name, but, the only one that's coming to mind is the lady that's in Modern Family.
Eva. No, not Eva. What is her name? I want to say Eva Longoria, but that's the one from, she was in Desperate Housewives, different girl. What is her name?
Gloria.
As long as she loses the accent, if she can pull off a different accent.
Sofia Vergara.
Yeah. Very hot.
Yeah.
Hot factor definitely there.
And humor.
And yeah, she's hysterical. In Modern Family, she's so funny.
Yeah. That's like the only person I could think of that could do something like that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm trying to make this work, but without having a person like that that's believable in that role, I'm not checking it out. I'm not interested in watching it. So a lot of these remakes or these reboots, I think they're being done because of either A, you know, Hollywood is devoid of fresh ideas, or B, they're just trying to reinvigorate the industry with, you know, formulas that worked from the past. Getting people to, you know, modern kids to see, you know, maybe check something out and go, huh, I wonder what that was like back in the original, and maybe I go back and look at it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with A.
Devoid of new ideas.
I really do. I really think that Hollywood has really fallen short. I think Netflix and Amazon have stepped it up in like creating series, like TV series that are better than most movies that you go to see nowadays. And those are, you know, those are independent corporations that are not really, I don't know, have they become networks? Are they considered a network now, you know? Like network TV? I mean, it's really it's an interesting dynamic that they've added to the entertainment world. And I just really like, I mean, even HBO has come up with their own series over the years, the last, you know, 15 years, where they're their own series of TV shows like Sopranos and what was the one? The drug one that he was cooking crystal meth. Breaking Bad. What was that? Was that an AMC or was that a...
I'm pretty sure it was AMC.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, those networks are coming out with better TV shows than a lot of Hollywood movies are coming out with. So there's something missing with the movie section of writing nowadays for that. Just my opinion.
So. Yeah, it feels like the people that aren't pressured by the studio have a certain degree more creativity and they can just run with it. And some of them hit it out of the park.
Right.
You know, and a lot of those series are like that, you know, that you mentioned, you know, Stranger Things, you know, and even, you know, if you're into a lot of the Netflix originals, or even what you're talking about, Amazon Prime, I think that they're able to throw something out there without having a lot of constraints of a major head of a company going, no, you've got to do it this way. And maybe, you know, in a lot of cases that works. But, you know, on the other side of the coin there, if you look at like Netflix, for instance, there's a lot of Netflix originals that aren't getting a lot of attention, but they're out there, you know? So I think there's a lot of hit and miss.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder how do they determine, like, because a lot of these network shows that we're talking about, these series, they don't have a lot of the big name actors that are in there. Like when you go to see a movie, you know, the first thing they do is they tease you with who's going to be in it.
Right.
Okay. You know, that's one of the draws to go see a movie. At least that was always something that I remember when I was younger, when I would go see a movie. It was because, you know, because Harrison Ford was in it. You got to love Harrison Ford because somebody else that he played in a previous movie, like, oh, I don't know, Star Wars or Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, whatever. Yeah, you know, little roles like that kind of put him on the map. Or Blade Runner.
Yeah, I mean, you would go see a Harrison Ford flick, you know, if it was something like Witness, for instance.
Right, or The Fugitive,
yeah.
You know, stuff like that, that isn't... It sounds like a cool movie, but what gets you in the seats is the actor or actress that you want to see.
Right.
Like Julia Roberts was a huge draw in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. You know, people went to see it for Julia Roberts or Tom Hanks. They went to see a Tom Hanks movie. They didn't just go see Castaway.
Yeah.
So okay. I think that's part of the difference. We're getting off on a little tangent, but whatever.
Yeah.
We're
allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because we have the leeway like Netflix and...
we don't have a company banner that's telling us to do it a certain way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all us, yeah, man.
Exactly. So, did you have anything else that was on your hit list?
Let's see. I wrote down some other ones that were just, you know, from like the 80s, like Scarface and, let's see. Pet Sematary mentioned Toxic Avenger. Firestarter, Hellraiser, and no, that's about it.
All right, so disappointed in both of us, because I was scrolling through the list. Definitely a movie that should have been on our radar to discuss, and it has not been brought up once.
Dude, there's 134, and I was skimming through them fast, fast.
Yeah,
so.
And so shame on both of us. One of the greatest 1980s movies of all times, Police Academy.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I saw that. I saw that. I'm like, yeah, no, that shouldn't be remade. I don't think it could be. Yes.
How many did they have? How many did we end
like
up
with? Seven. I think seven. It was like six or seven. Yeah.
What's left to tell on that story? And do you retell the original or do you make an eight? I don't know what to do.
First of all, I wouldn't know what to do with that. Where are you going to find the guy that makes all the sound effects?
I'm sure there's guys out there that have that talent.
Will it be as entertaining?
Probably not. No.
Not even close. Not even close.
I was a little
you're looking at the guy going, "What is this idiot doing?" You know, it would not be. It just wouldn't work out. It wouldn't work out. I don't think. Not that guy, at least. Not that character.
Michael Winslow, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I was always a Tackleberry fan. Loved Tackleberry.
Okay. Well, you could find a nutcase that plays that role.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you couldn't replace him. I'm just saying that that's my favorite character from that movie.
Yeah, he was pretty funny to watch.
Yeah.
He was the gun nut.
Yeah. I don't know. G.W. Bailey, I liked him in Police Academy, but I didn't like him in a lot of other of his roles where he...
That's the chief.
Yeah, like Mannequin. Did not like him in Mannequin at all.
Oh, yeah, no. He's a bumbling idiot.
Yeah. But then the lovely Kim Cattrall. Yeah, okay. All right. all right, so... yeah, I think we're done then. I think we've expended this list and beat up as much as we possibly could. I don't know if there was a lot of, you know, positive reboot this movie thought processes, though. Much like I thought there would be.
It's really hard to go back and rethink these things.
Yeah.
Like Planet of the Apes. Let's, real quick. Planet of the Apes is one of my all-time favorite series back from the late 60s and early 70s. I loved that. I thought it was great. I had, in fact, Chris Winkleman has my 5-disc DVD set of all the Planet of the Apes. I loaned it to him like 3 years ago before we moved out here. So if you see him next time, tell him I want my Planet of the Apes back.
I will tell him.
So when the new one came back with Mark Wahlberg, which I love Mark Wahlberg. I like his acting. He's been in a lot of great roles that I appreciate. But I don't know that when it kind of fell off, it really didn't have the same intrigue as the original with Chuck Heston. And, I can't remember who else was in that. Charlton Heston and, who was the love interest?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah. Anyway. So it just didn't hold the same weight that the original did. So these are things that Anyway. So yeah, it's really hard to reboot. You better really have everything in line and really ready to bring it to the table if you're going to reboot something. Even if it was a bad movie.
Yeah, I was. I just noticed Big Trouble in Little China stars Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, The Rock in Big Trouble in Little China.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. But, you know, that's a good note to end on. So this has been Bonsai Retro Club, and I am Dave, and once again, we're talking with Scott, and we're talking about movies that we wanted to possibly reboot from the 80s based on IMDb list or not. Sounds like both Scott and I were definitely a not in most categories. You know, as far as what we need you to do is go out to bonsairetroclub.com, and, you know, check out our social media credentials, you know, check us on Instagram and, Twitter and, well, you know, all those funky, finagled, you know, social media accounts. They're all linked on the website, so that's the best way to get a hold of us. The other thing that's important for us to have you do is go out and give us a rating review on iTunes. So, should be pretty easy to do. You get a chance, you have your iPhone handy, and just, you know, quickly do those 5 stars and say something about how we're awesome, and we would definitely love that.
Yes, we would.
Yep. So, the only other thing that I don't mention very often is that we also have a Patreon account. You can get to that through bonsairetroclub.com, and that's just a way that you can help support us. So this hobby of ours is, you know, it costs a little bit of bread in order to, you know, support the website and support a podcast host. And you can help us bring that together for you. And we'd appreciate it. So Scott, any parting words?
Stay groovy.
Stay groovy. So my advice is just be excellent to each other. Be nice and just be groovy. I got nothing else. So everybody have a good whatever.
Take care.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
Bonsai!